Wednesday, July 8, 2015. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, and we bring you just a little bit different of an outlook on the world of sports than you are going to get anywhere else. If you want a sports podcast that actually gives you some actual insight instead of just the same old stuff that's out there again and again and again, maybe mix in some humor, maybe give you a little bit different take than you're going to get anywhere else, you have found your new podcast. I'll give you some sports takes, give you some insight, give you some you know, a little bit of sarcasm here or there. You know, the great thing about the podcast, you can subscribe. You can get it pretty much anywhere. You can go to iTunes. You can go to Podcast Republic. You can go to places like Spreaker or Blueberry. There's a number of places you can get it. And you can listen to it anywhere. You can listen to it at work. You can listen to it in traffic. You know, we're in that dry season right now. We're in that time of year where there's not a lot going on right now in the world of sports. There's some mid-season baseball races that no one cares about. There's no football. There's no basketball. There's just not a lot going on right now. If you want a podcast that's still going to keep on top of things during this dry season, still going to keep you entertained during this season, you found your new podcast. Check out The Daily Dose. I think you'll like it. If you would like to contact me, want to give me a comment, want to give me some feedback, you got a thought, need some advice, gotten some good emails from you listeners lately. The great thing I've told you in the past, the great thing that I love about The Daily Dose, the thing that I love about The Daily Dose is we have great listeners. We have intelligent listeners. You're not just the standard rah-rah yelling at sports, yelling at your TV listeners. We have people who actually think. We have people who actually have some good insight of their own. I've got smart listeners. It's the best thing about doing the show. If you'd like to contact me, give me some feedback, reach me at Twitter. Twitter handle is at Daily Dose Sports. DALYDOSE. Daily Dose Sports. Same thing for Facebook. If you want to liven up your Facebook feed, I know the Facebook feed gets pretty dry. I know the Facebook feed consists of basically some like family members that you rarely speak to, and like some old classmates you went to school with, and them talking about, you know, how happy they are, how lovely their life is every single day, no matter what. Or you have to hear about some stuff that you really didn't want to know, and they're sharing some things about their lives that you're like, I didn't need to know what you ate for lunch yesterday. If you want to liven up that feed, subscribe to us, Daily Dose Sports on Facebook. If you'd like to go over to the website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com, put up new articles every week. We put them up about two or three times a week. Usually we'll find new things Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. It's not set. It's not regimented, but that's usually about the time that we'll put some things out. Put some new articles up, you know, put some things out this week. A couple articles you might want to check out. We released the Major League Baseball All-Star teams. Have you seen those yet? Ours might look a little different than some other people's. Put up an article this last week about how the Lakers, Los Angeles Lakers, are doing things in free agency. You might want to check that one out. If you would like to email the show directly, dailydosesports@gmail.com. That comes directly to us here at the show. And you know, if you need some insight, you need some information, you just want to give us some feedback, hit us up there. I told you we have some different shows coming for you during this dry season. I told you that we had some different things coming for you, and it is starting right now, right today. Because I know some of you may listen to other podcasts. You may listen to sports talk. You may listen to, trust me on this, they don't have much to say right now. Oh, we've got a couple things. We've got NBA free agency. The Spurs are winning. The Blazers are losing. A couple guys moving here and there. But honestly, we got to kind of see how everything shakes out. It's funny because you look at NBA free agency and you look right off the bat and you say, wow, the Spurs are winning, and they're winning big. And it certainly does look like they are. You know who else is winning? LeBron James is winning. And you might not think that, because the only guy that they've really signed is Mo Williams. But LeBron James is winning because all he's hoping for right now is, let's bulk up the West and let them beat each other up. And then maybe somehow out of the East, because we know we're going to win the East. We know we can get through the East. Maybe they'll beat each other up enough that we can somehow beat a Western team. LeBron James is winning, whether you like it or not. Got to give a big congrats out to the U.S. women's soccer team. I told you I was going to call them out if they didn't win. They won in convincing fashion, smashing Japan 5-2 in the final. Big, big credit to them for doing that. But you know, like I said, there's not a whole lot going on right now. Now, if a big story does come out Trust me. On the Daily Dose, we're going to talk about it. If there's something big that comes out, we'll make sure to hit on that. But for the next couple of weeks, we're going to change things up just a little bit to help you get through these brutal summer days. It's funny, here in the Mile High City, it does not look like a summer day. It is overcast. It is kind of drizzly rain outside. Looks nothing like a hot summer day. But I know for the rest of the country, and we have listeners all over the country, I know that it probably looks more like summer where you're at. You know, one of the most popular segments here on the Daily Dose that we have, one of the most popular segments, I've told you in the past, I get comments on it every single week. We do a top five every single week at the end of the show. And we've been doing these for a number of years. We release the top five, and I've told you in the past, you never know where the top five is going to go. It may give you, you know, any number of variety of different subjects. It could be just a list. It could be a historical list. It could be something going forward. It could be, you know, kind of holiday themed. You just never know where the Daily Dose top five is going to go. But this week, we're going to just do some top fives. I've just got some top fives for you. Because it is one of our most popular segments. And like I said, if I'm going to get feedback on anything, when I hear from you listeners, one of the things that I always hear on is the top five. Hey, love the show. Awesome top five this week. Hey, was listening to the show this week and I disagree with you on the top five because of this. Hey, really like the show this week, but your top five, you've got this wrong and it should be this guy should be number one or this player should be number two or whatever it might be. I always get feedback on the top five. And we started doing the top five back when this was a radio show. We started doing it, you know, back then, and we did it, you know, either once a week or once a show or whatever it was. We're going to give you some top fives today. And again, you don't know where the top five is going. This week, we're going to kind of have a theme to this week. We're going to do some underrated top fives. Our theme is underrated. And not every list is going to be according to that theme, but a couple of them will. And you never know. You never know. Because, like I said, my goal is to get you through to August. When we get into August, we start getting into football training camp. We start getting into some different things. And so we could have an overrated theme coming sometime. You just never know. You never know. So stay tuned. But we're going to have some underrated top fives today. A couple things in the upcoming weeks that'll just mix things up a little bit and give you something, again, that will keep you entertained during this dry time of year. First off, how was your July 4th? Did you enjoy your 4th of July? We had the long weekend this last weekend. Hopefully your boss was kind enough to give you either the Friday or the Monday or something. I know there are a number of bosses that were like, hey, we got them here for free. Let's make them work for free. A number of them did that, but you might have gotten the long weekend. Did you enjoy your July 4th? I feel like July 4th. And I am a person that, you know, obviously I love this country and the freedom that we have and the things that we have in this country. But doesn't it kind of feel like July 4th is one of the more redneckier holidays we have going? I'm going to go out and grill up some vittles, fire off some fireworks. Here's my question for you. Do you still have all of your digits? If so, you are doing better than New York Giants defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul, who could be permanently saying we're number three all the time after apparently he had a fireworks mishap. There's some investigation, could be some criminal investigation, depending where they are at and if those fireworks were legal where he was shooting those off, but apparently he had one go off in his hand. You know, I started to think over this weekend. I was talking to a friend. We started to talk a little bit about over the weekend, and you know, maybe we need to count down some great American players for our nation's celebration of independence, which we had over the weekend. And so, for our first top five today, let's count down the Daily Dose top five greatest American athletes. Now, to be on this list, because there's a number of people we could put on a list like this. To be on this list, you got to play more than one sport. I can't just look at a sport and say, Wayne Gretzky, phenomenal athlete. When you look at the numbers and what he did in ice hockey, it is absolutely amazing. Do you realize, let me just throw a stat out for you. Do you realize that if Wayne Gretzky never scored a goal, he would still be the leader in points in history in the NHL? If he had never scored a goal because of how many assists he had, he outscored everyone. His goals were just, you know, icing on that huge cake. But I don't know if he can even run. I have no idea if Wayne Gretzky can run down the field. I would guess that he can. I think that he can. He's really good on skates. I know that. But I don't have any idea if he's an athlete at all. I wanted to count down the top five greatest American athletes. No, I'm not going overseas. I'm not going to say, oh yeah, this guy played soccer and cricket. The greatest soccer and cricket player. No, we're staying this American. In honor of the 4th of July, here are the Daily Dose top five greatest American athletes. Number five, and I'll tell you what, this guy could be a lot higher. Number five, Dave Winfield. You know, he was drafted by four different professional teams in three different sports. Winfield went to Minnesota. He went to the University of Minnesota on a baseball scholarship. While there, he played baseball and basketball. And Minnesota, in fact, won a Big Ten basketball championship. Minnesota won a Big Ten basketball championship. Not gymnastics. Not baseball. They won in basketball. That hasn't been done in a while. When he came out, he was drafted in the NBA by the Atlanta Hawks. He was drafted in the ABA by the Utah Stars. He was drafted in Major League Baseball by the San Diego Padres. And the Minnesota Vikings thought, you know what? If he decides to play football, we would take him too. Winfield, goes on to be a 12-time All-Star in Major League Baseball, World Series champion, hit over 3,000 hits, and have 465 home runs. Pretty amazing athlete Dave Winfield was. Moving on to number four. And when you hear number four, you might sit there and go, well, I know he's a popular guy. I know the name. I know what he did. Because he's remembered for being the guy to break the Major League Baseball color barrier. But you might not know that Jackie Robinson, while at UCLA, became the first player to letter in four different sports in 1 year. Jackie Robinson lettered in baseball, basketball, football, and track. Did you know that he won the 1940 NCAA Track and Field Championships in the long jump, jumping 24 feet and 10 and 1/4 inches? And the funny thing is, Jackie Robinson always said baseball was his worst sport. He was better at the other sports. He was selected to the college all-star games in both basketball and football. He went on, of course, to play professional baseball. 6-time all-star, all-century team, and of course he did break the color barrier and how important he was. Jackie Robinson was a pretty amazing, amazing athlete. Let's move forward to number three. And number three, when you hear this guy, you're going to say, well, of course, Jim Brown was one of the greatest football players of all time. Jim Brown is one of the greatest football players ever. I mean, he retires from the NFL. He only played 9 seasons. Jim Brown only played in 9 seasons. And when he retired, he was the NFL's all-time leading rusher. Over 12,000 yards. 126 touchdowns scored. He averaged in his career, not for one game, he averaged 5.2 yards per carry for his career. And I realize, I look back and I watch Jim Brown and I have respect for what he did on the football field. But it does kind of strike me at times that when I'm watching him, it seems like he's going against a lot of like 5'8" white guys. I'll throw that out there. I'm not ashamed to admit I've seen that. But what he did in the NFL is pretty amazing. 9 seasons. 9 times elected to the Pro Bowl. 8 times first team all pro. But here's the thing. You might not know this. Did you know that Jim Brown is considered by many to be the greatest lacrosse player ever? Ever? You know, he was actually on scholarship at Syracuse University. He was actually on scholarship as a lacrosse player. He decided to walk on for football. And while playing lacrosse at Syracuse, he led them to an undefeated season in 1957 and led the nation in scoring. Jim Brown's a pretty good lacrosse player. Really good. Number three on our list, Jim Brown, greatest American athlete. Number two on our list, and there's a lot of people that are going to say this guy might be the greatest. This guy might be the greatest American athlete of all time. He won the gold medal at the 1912 Olympics in the pentathlon and the decathlon. He played professional football. Played for the Canton Bulldogs. He played some sort of professional basketball. He played professional baseball with the New York Giants. And you might not know this, he was actually the NFL's first commissioner. They called it president at that time, but he was the NFL's first commissioner. Jim Thorpe was an amazing, amazing athlete. And the racism and the things that he went through when he was playing, winning the Olympics, he actually had his Olympic medals taken from him because they decided that he had been paid prior to the Olympics, and they pulled that away. Jim Thorpe was an absolutely amazing athlete, though, and could do it anywhere. To play professionally, three different sports, and he won two gold medals, pretty amazing. Jim Thorpe, number two. But I had to put number one. Number one. And this is number one for me. I realize a lot of people might disagree with this, but when you look at the film and you stack this up, and some of the people going back, oh, Jim Thorpe was better. Oh, Jim Brown was better. I've never seen as good of an athlete. And when I say athlete, I mean 6'1", 230 pounds, and ran like a wide receiver. I have never seen an athlete like Bo Jackson. He could run through you. He could run past you. And he did it often. The biggest problem with Bo Jackson was that he had the shortened career because of the injury. He had that hip injury. He was recruited out of high school. Bo Jackson was being recruited by the New York Yankees to play baseball. But he decided he was going to go to college. And I believe that was something on his mother's side. His mom had said she wanted to go to college. He attends Auburn. Goes to Auburn. Is the MVP of their football team. Actually somehow gets Auburn to the Sugar Bowl. And they win the Sugar Bowl. Had them competing, which at the time, back in the 80s, Auburn wasn't doing real well without him. You might not know that Bo Jackson qualified for the U.S. Olympic team in track and field. But then he decided in 86 to go pro in baseball. And he went to the Kansas City Royals. Was the 89 All-Star Game MVP. Had four different seasons of 20-plus home runs. And he kind of started to think about maybe I should play some professional football. But he was kind of trying to decide, where do I go? And he hadn't ever declared for the draft or anything. I think the Buccaneers had drafted him back when he was just coming out of high school, but he had never gone and played. And so he was kind of basically a free agent. There were teams that were recruiting him. There were professional football teams that were saying, hey, come play with us. In fact, there is a story. I don't know if it's true, but there is a story that Dallas Cowboys owner Tex Schramm at the time brought Bo Jackson down for a visit down to Dallas. And he brought him into the huge Texas stadium. They walked out on the field, looking up. You know how Texas Stadium is built. Got the hole. You can see the sky and everything through the hole. And he walked around. They looked around at the stadium. No one was in it. And he points to Bo and he says, "Bo, if you come to Dallas, you will own this stadium." And Bo Jackson said, "Why would I want a stadium with a hole in the roof?" You know, he had his career cut short. He ended up going to the Raiders. He signed with the Oakland Raiders in 87. And he played just four seasons. He played in just 38 games. He had that just kind of a strange injury to his hip. He actually had a bit of a risk of losing his leg because of the way the injury went through his leg. He had that artery kind of tear in there. Never was the same after that. But I just want to throw out some stats to you. In such a short amount of time, in just 38 games, 2,782 yards, 16 touchdowns. He had, in that short career, he had a 92-yard touchdown, a 91-yard touchdown, and an 88-yard touchdown. He had an average of 5.4 yards per carry. You know, and maybe the reason that I look at Bo Jackson, I saw what he did. He did it on the national stage. We all remember the Seattle game, or you might have seen highlights of the Seattle game on Monday night when it was kind of, you know, Bo's coming out party as he just, you know, runs over Bosworth, runs through the Seahawks, runs up into the tunnel. But I saw him play against Denver a few times. I saw him play my beloved Broncos a few times. Against the Broncos, he was 3-1. He beat the Broncos three times out of the four that he played him. In those games, he had 54 carries for 308 yards and 5 touchdowns. Do you see why he made an imprint on me? You could look up, when you look up and you see highlights, like if you YouTube Bo Jackson, just notice how many times he runs over our safety, Mike Harden. Like every single highlight of Bo Jackson is him running over Denver Broncos safety, Mike Harden. He made a living just doing that. Bo Jackson was the greatest American athlete that I personally have ever seen. You know, I told you we were going to have a little bit of an underrated theme going today. And I want to talk about some underrated players. Some players that, and I'm not saying that these players aren't considered great. Many of them, if you talked about them, you'd say, oh yeah, yeah, he's a great player. But these guys, it seems like they're not ever put up into the greatest echelon. No one counts them as the greatest. And so for our next top five, I want to count down my Daily Dose top five most underrated NBA team. I'm just going to give you five players. They're going to make up my personal NBA team. And I'll take this team, I'll be honest, I'll take this team into battle with just about anybody. They might not be the greatest, but they're going to be pretty tough. They're going to be pretty good. And if we sit here and we said, you know, who's the greatest at this position, you would probably not come up with these guys. These are not those guys. Maybe one. Okay, first off, let me give you my point guard. So at my number five spot, I'm going to start with my point guard. This point guard in my Daily Dose top five most underrated NBA players. This guy, amazing player. He fought a lot of injuries. But you might not realize this. He is one of only three players to average 20 points and 10 assists for three consecutive seasons. The only other two guys that did that, Isaiah Thomas, Oscar Robertson. 20 points and 10 assists for three straight seasons? Nobody does that. He is one of only three to average 20 points and 12 assists for one season. Only other two guys to do it? Isaiah Thomas, Magic Johnson. He led this team. He led a team with a history of being dogs, I guess would probably be the best way to put it. Led them to back-to-back conference finals. Led them to the finals. This is a franchise that they don't go to the finals. They may get to the playoffs. They certainly don't go to the finals of anything. Led them to back-to-back conference finals from 89 to 90 and led them to the finals in 93. Averaged 20 points and 10 assists in the playoffs. My most underrated point guard of my team has got to be the Phoenix Suns, Kevin Johnson. And if you want to go on YouTube, go to YouTube and search Kevin Johnson dunk on Hakeem Olajuwon or Kevin Johnson dunk on Mark Eaton. Mark Eaton was what, 7'6"? 7'5"? Go look at that. Hey, the numbers that Kevin Johnson put up were absolutely no joke. And I realize he did it for a short amount of time. He did have those injuries. His body broke down on him. I think he's like the mayor of Sacramento now. Kevin Johnson was an underrated point guard. Will never get discussed in some of the top point guards. He did some pretty amazing things when he was on the floor. Let's move over to my shooting guard. My number four spot on my most underrated NBA players. Here's a guy who played for 14 seasons. Averaged 16 points a game, averaged 4.5 assists for his career. He won two championships. And, you know, in those playoff runs, somehow he jumped up his average up to 18 points a game. You say, 18 points, big deal. Look at what LeBron's doing. Look at what some of these other guys are doing, big deal. Well, you know, when he went to the finals, this guy jumped his average up to 27 points a game in 89 when he and his team swept the Los Angeles Lakers. He shot 48% for his career. Not for a big man inside dunking. Shooting guard. Shot 48% for his career. Just steady. Just solid. just constant. Every night you knew what you were going to get. Toughness, defense. I want this guy on my team. And by the way, Michael Jordan says he's the best defender he ever faced. Give me my shooting guard for my most underrated team, the Detroit Pistons, Joe Dumars. Joe Dumars was pretty good. And when Michael Jordan says he's the best defender that he ever faced, I'm going to go ahead and take Joey D. He was pretty good. Let me move over to my small forward. Number three on our list, most underrated NBA players. My small forward. Now, this guy gets blasted. His team didn't win enough. He shot too much. He didn't play defense. You might already trying to be putting that together a little bit. But people forget a couple things. They forget that, yeah, he wasn't a great defender, but you know what? You couldn't defend him. You couldn't defend him. And they also forget that he was going against some really, really good teams. Really good teams. Some teams that we kind of put up there, upper echelon, all-time teams. And we also kind of forget that he didn't have a ton of help. In his career, 15 seasons, this guy averaged 25 points a game and 7 rebounds a game. And you know, he came into the league, when he first came into the league, back in the 80s, late 70s maybe, came into the league as more of a dunker. Oh, he's an athlete, he's a dunker, but he's not a shooter, he's not a scorer, he's just really, really athletic. No. Because he turned himself into a deadly, deadly shooter. And this guy was so good off the glass. I mean, he could bank it in from like the corner. He was so good off the glass. His shooting touch is so, so, so underrated. We never count this guy among great shooters. And I'm not talking necessarily long-range game because the NBA at that time, we didn't gear the NBA teams like that around the three-point shot like they do now. If a lot of those 80s players, you know, the Larry Birds and those guys had played in the era of now, I mean, you look at the number of shots they put up from outside the three-point line, it's not even close to what these guys do now. They didn't use it as a weapon like that. They used it kind of as a last resort. This guy could shoot. His mid-range game was absolutely amazing, and he could score on anyone. So, so, so good off the glass. He was too quick for a four to guard him. He was too quick. He was too athletic. He was way too strong for a three guard to guard him. And he gets a lot of bad rap because he lost to the Celtics, one of the great Celtics teams. He lost to the Pistons that won those back-to-back championships. Didn't have a ton of help. I mean, Kevin Willis, Antoine Carr at the end of his career, Tree Rollins. Come on. Give me my small forward, Dominique Wilkins. We are going to score some points. We might not be able to stop you, but I've got Joe Dumars. I've got some other people coming. Dominique Wilkins can score. I'll guarantee you that. He'll get his 25 or 30 that night. I just have to hope that his opponent doesn't get his, you know, 28 or 45 or whatever. I can still remember. I can remember being a kid and watching, you know, they used to have, I think it was Tuesday nights on TNT, and I would watch, and I can remember they would have, you know, Hawks versus Bulls, and like Jordan would go for like 45 and Dominique would go for like 57. It's just amazing. Amazing. I know. I sound like one of those old guys. Get off my lawn. The 80s was so much better basketball. Pretty entertaining product, though. Pretty entertaining product. You had some good, good teams. It wasn't as watered down. There were less teams. I mean, there's only like, you know, 24 teams or 22 teams or 26 teams, something like that. But every team, it seemed like, had three stars. Like, pretty good players on those teams. Loaded up teams. Let me move on to my power forward. Number two on my list here. Here's a guy who's 6'10", power forward, and can jump out of the gym. Played 14 seasons, averaged 17 points a game and 8 rebounds a game. This guy shot 55% from the field. But here's what might be more impressive, especially in the day that we have today, where we have the DeAndre Jordans, we have the Dwight Howards. Here's a guy who shot 76% from the free throw line. You know, the lowest he ever shot was 52% in one season from the field. His mid-range game, he understood his limitations. Mid-range game and defense and toughness and rebounds and putbacks and do the dirty work that sometimes, you know, the prettier players don't want to do. And if not for a guy by the name of Michael Jordan hitting a shot, floating in the air and hitting a shot over Craig Elo, might have gone on to a little bit more... wins in the playoffs, maybe gone on to the finals in the playoffs, could have definitely battled with the Pistons. But make my power forward a guy that is very underrated. No one talks about. Give me Larry Nance. Larry Nance was a tough dude. Do all that dirty work. Do all that cleanup work. And I know he's going to shoot a high percentage. He's not going to take bad shots. Oh, and by the way, he can hit his free throws. Yeah, pretty amazing thought, isn't it? In this day and age. Now, I'm going to go on to my center. I'm going to go on to my number one most underrated NBA player here. I'm going to go to my center. And when I say who it is, you're going to say, man, you're crazy. He's not underrated. He is not underrated. We talk about this guy. But let me ask you this. Because I think he might be one of the most underrated players of all time. Let me ask you this. Who is the greatest basketball player to ever play the game? Michael Jordan? Magic Johnson? We've got the young crowd, LeBron James, maybe Kobe Bryant, maybe a Larry Bird or someone like that. Greatest player to ever play the game. Okay, let me change the question. Who is the greatest center to ever play the game? No, Bill Russell. Wilt Chamberlain, look at the numbers Chamberlain put up. Hakeem Olajuwon. Shaquille O'Neal, just for sheer strength and physicality, Shaquille O'Neal has got to be on this. This guy doesn't get mentioned anymore. He used to, but he doesn't get mentioned anymore because we kind of forgot about him. Sports fans have short memories. And probably, to be honest, because he kind of looked like a dinosaur. And to be honest, he was kind of a jerk. Although when you think about what he grew up with, being a large black man growing up in the 60s and 70s, you kind of understand where he may have had a little bit of an edge to him. Because he went through a lot in his world. This guy went 79-2 in high school. Then he went on to college. Now he's from New York, went out to the other coast, won 3 national championships in college. And now remember, this is at a time when freshmen were not allowed to play. Was the most outstanding player on all 3 of those championship teams. Then he goes to the NBA. Well, that's going to be a little bit different at the NBA. You're going to have to play against some big dogs. Yeah, he won 6 titles. He won 6 MVPs. Was 19 times an NBA All-Star. And 6 times on the NBA All-Defensive Team. He is still the NBA all-time scoring leader with over 38,000 points. And you absolutely could not defend his go-to move. No one would do it now, though. No one would make the move now because it's an uncool move. But Kareem Abdul-Jabbar would go to that skyhook, and there's no defense for it. You can't block it. You can't stop it. The only thing you can do is not allow him to get the ball. That's the only thing you couldn't do. But see, Kareem didn't care. He didn't care how it looked. He would go get it. He would go one way, go the other way, put up the skyhook, and it was money. And he could hit it from range. He could hit it from just about anywhere. You could not stop Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But does he get talked about anymore? Is he on those lists? Greatest player ever? Greatest center ever? No, we kind of forgot about Kareem. We kind of forgot about him. And to be fair, he's probably forgotten a lot of things too because he smokes a lot of weed. Let's be real honest. So maybe he's kind of forgot about it too. But Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is my number one most underrated NBA player. And my 5 right there, my underrated guys, we're going to be pretty tough. I don't know if we can beat everybody. We're going to be pretty tough. We're going to be pretty good when we have to be. Now, I told you that, Kareem with that skyhook, you couldn't defend it. But he didn't care. He didn't care about how it looked. Because if kids today really, really wanted to be pretty close to being undefendable, they would learn the skyhook. But it's not cool. It's not cool to make that move, to throw the hook. What are you, a grandpa? No one would do that. And I've told you in the past, I coached high school basketball, coached youth basketball for a number of years. And there are certain things that you learn when you're doing that. There are certain traits that you look for. And kids absolutely would never learn that skyhook because it just wouldn't be cool to do in today's game. It just wouldn't be that cool. But I want to talk about, we're going to do another quick Daily Dose Top 5 here. I'm going to give you my Daily Dose Top 5 prettiest shooters. Prettiest shooters. Because there are certain guys, and the reason I tell you, there are certain guys, when I walk into a gym, I can walk into a gym right now, And I can look around the gym, and you can be just a guy walking in, and I can see you shoot maybe two or three times, and I can tell you if you're a player. Maybe not if you're a player. Well, a little bit if you're a player. I can certainly tell if you're a shooter. But, you know, when you think about some of the great shooters of all time, some of the great shooters, they're not always the prettiest shooters. I mean, think of a guy like Larry Bird. And Larry Bird, to me, is one of the greatest shooters ever, bar none, ever. But his form is kind of weird. It's kind of back over his head. It's a little bit off to the side. It is not how you would teach guys to shoot a basketball. He shot it so many times growing up as a kid that I mean, he was so deadly with it. But it's not exactly pretty. When you think of a guy like Reggie Miller, Reggie Miller is another guy that you look at and you say, well, his release is a little bit weird. The way he shoots it and gets rid of it, he brings that left hand over a little bit. His hands kind of split at the end. It's kind of a different shot. Deadly, one of the greatest shooters ever, but it's not a pretty shot. It's not necessarily like a textbook shot. I want to talk about some of these guys that did have the prettiest shots. Like we said, Kareem didn't care how he looked. These guys did, and they had some really, really pretty shots. Number five on my list of prettiest shooters. Played for a number of years. Shot 40% from three-point range, which is about the line. If you're at about 40% shooting threes, you're really, really good shooting threes. Set shooter. His feet were set. Peja Stojakovic was a guy that when you watch him shoot it, and you can, you know, go YouTube Peja and the way he shot, had to have his feet set. But when he got his feet around and were set, he had that nice shooting pocket, elbow straight in, extended up, and he's a big guy. Sometimes those big guys, when you get up to the 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", range, that's why I'm always impressed really with Kevin Durant, as big as he is. Sometimes those bigger guys, their limbs are longer. It's harder for them to have that pretty form. Peja was a guy, though, that had really, really pretty form. Good-looking shooter. Just his form, his feet, the way he released it. Peja Stojakovic, very, very pretty shooter. Number four. Now, Peja was a set shooter. He was a guy that had to come around, get his feet set. If he had his feet set, he was very, very deadly. This guy was a jump shooter. And this guy might be one of the most pure jump shooters that I have ever seen in my life. Could get his shot off almost anytime he wanted to. Another guy that was right around the 40% range, three-point land, scored 19,000 career points. And this is a guy that you wouldn't think of him as a featured player. You wouldn't think of him as one of the big-time scorers or the big-time But Dale Ellis was one of the prettiest shooters ever. You want to talk about a jump shooter. And jump shooting kind of changes the game a little bit when you're talking about shooting. It's one thing to catch the ball, stand, and shoot it. It's another thing to elevate over a defender and go up and shoot it. Changes your form a little bit, changes the way your footwork is a little bit. Do you go straight up? Do you come forward a little bit? Dale Ellis could get that shot off anytime he wanted to. And he was absolutely deadly with it. Go YouTube Dale Ellis putting up like 18 points in one quarter, and almost all of them are long-range jump shots. Number three on our list, very, very good shooter, very, very underrated point guard in general. But if I was looking to show kids how to shoot a free throw, this was the guy. See, a lot of people, we were taught as kids, sometimes we were kind of taught funny stuff when we were kids. When you're shooting, you are taught, okay, you want to, you know, keep the elbow in, and you've got that shooting pocket, and I go straight up, and when I do, I put my hand in the cookie jar, right? Right? That's what we were all taught. Well, sort of. But here's the problem. If that basketball comes off of your ring finger and your pinky finger, that ball's going off to the side. So I really don't want to put my whole hand in the cookie jar like we were told as kids. I want to put my first two fingers, my pointer and my middle finger, I want to put those two fingers in the cookie jar. And if you want to see a guy that did that and did that well, go look at Mark Price. Mark Price shot for his career over 90% at the free throw line. And if you ever, there are pictures of him. We had a poster in one of our gyms of him. And you see him following through with those first two fingers, and only the first two fingers going into that cookie jar, as we were told as kids. His follow through was absolutely perfect. Pretty shooter. Mark Price. Could get it done from long range. Very, very good passing the ball. Very good finding the open man. But Mark Price was a deadly, deadly free throw shooter. And I have to think a lot of it was due to his just perfect follow through. Number two on my list of prettiest shooters. This is a guy, if you're just going to go teach kids, if you have a young kid, you have a youngster in your life, and you say, here is who you should shoot like. And I realize right now everyone's going to watch Steph Curry, and I understand it. I would too. The quick release that Curry has and that kind of thing. But if you want to shoot like a certain player, watch the way he moves without the basketball. Watch the way he catches the ball. Watch the way he uses his screens and he gets himself free. Watch the way he gets his feet and his body wrapped around the ball when he's getting ready to shoot it. You watch a guy that has scored over 24,000 points in the NBA. 40% from three-point range, 89% career-wise at the free throw line. You go watch Ray Allen. Ray Allen is absolutely one of the prettiest shooters to ever play the game, and he was deadly. People forget Ray Allen because we all remember Ray Allen when he was, with Miami, and he was kind of just that sniper. He would kind of lurk around on the perimeter. And if, someone happened to find a loose ball, swing it out to him, he was deadly with it. But you forget that younger in his career when he was like Milwaukee and playing with some of those other teams, he was going out and getting 25 a night. He was going out and getting 25, 26 a night. Ray Allen was deadly and one of the prettiest shooters ever. A guy that we actually did, we would show guys film of Ray Allen and say, this is what you're modeling your game after. That good of a shooter. Number one on my list of prettiest shooters. You might be trying to think, who else is out there? Who else is out there? There's a couple guys, like I said, there's guys like Jordan, good looking shooter, not an ugly shooter by any means. Someone like Larry Bird, a little unorthodox the way he shot. Reggie Miller, some of those guys, a little bit different. LeBron James, it's just not as pretty. It's just not, there's something about the smoothness and the flow of a good shooter, and when they get in rhythm, they can just stroke the basketball and just make it go in the net. The prettiest shooter of all time. He's number 15 in your program, but he's number one in your heart. From the Hickory Huskers, Jimmy Chitwood. Now, I've seen Jimmy Chitwood. I've seen the movie Hoosiers. I don't know how many times. I've seen him play. I've seen Jimmy Chitwood play a lot of basketball. And I've only seen that guy miss like three shots ever. Remember when he was out shooting at that little dirt hoop he had out, behind his house or whatever, and he was shooting with the flat basketball, and that was the first time you really saw him shoot? Dude's got a pretty shot. And remember, he's shooting, and coach comes out, because he's not going to try out, and coach comes out and talks to him a little bit, and right at the end, and Jimmy hasn't missed. Bam, hitting. Bam, hitting, hitting, hitting. Just stroking the basketball. And coach says, hey, Jimmy, I just want to let you know, I don't care if you play or not. And he walks away, and Jimmy clanks it. One of the only times he misses. I think he missed maybe two shots in the championship game against like Muncie Central. Three misses ever. Dude had one of the prettiest shots ever. I mean, remember in the big game, and he tells coach, coach draws up the play for the other guy. We're going to use Jimmy as a decoy. And Jimmy drops the coach. I'll make it. He was all LeBron James on us. Except that Jimmy, won the big game. But yeah, other than that, he went all LeBron James. The guy that actually played Jimmy Chitwood, his name was, I believe, Maris Valenas. This is a guy, an actor that they found for the part, and he did have that pretty jump shot that they really, really liked. He was actually cut all 3 years of his high school career. Never made a varsity basketball team in his career. Got cut every single year. Went on to bigger and better, though. Did pretty well as Jimmy Chitwood in the movie Hoosiers. All right, we've got one more final Daily Dose top five here. Gonna move on to a big Daily Dose top five here. Last one of the day, last one of the week. I think you guys will like this one. I am going to give you my Daily Dose top five most underrated NFL quarterbacks of all time. I want you to think about that for a minute. Because, our rating of NFL quarterbacks, I've told you in the past, it's flawed. The way that we kind of base who's the greatest quarterback, who's the greatest quarterback of all time, it's a little bit flawed the way we do these things. Because when we think of, I want you to think of right now, who are the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game? Who are the greatest quarterbacks ever? Ever? Well, it's got to be who has the most championships, right? I mean, Brady has four. He's been to more than anyone else. Well, no, Montana has four, and he never lost any. I mean, Brady lost a few. Montana never lost, so it's got to be them. But we only apply this logic when it suits us. Now, if you turn on your local radio today, or you turn on ESPN or one of these shows, or, you know, First Take or whatever these shows are, they're going to get in this discussion, and they're going to say, well, it's Montana, it's Brady, it's Unitas, maybe a couple might say it's Manning, or it's whoever, but we don't really apply logic that makes much sense. I want you to think about this. We say it's Brady or Montana or somebody like that because they've got four. But Terry Bradshaw has four. How come Terry Bradshaw's not on the list? When you look at his stats, of course, he threw 212 touchdowns and 210 interceptions for his career, but I mean, he won four. And how come Otto Graham's not on the list? Otto Graham won seven championships. We don't mention that. Because see, when we consider quarterbacks, we don't talk about there are 21 other guys on this field. Now, when you are comparing, you can't just look at just strictly numbers. It doesn't make any sense to do that. You have to consider the situation that these guys are in. And let me explain what I mean. I heard someone recently, they were talking about Sugar Ray Robinson, who I believe is the greatest fighter to ever fight. Pound for pound, greatest fighter ever. And I'm going to be honest, I don't think it's that close. They talked about how, well, Ray Robinson, back in his day, he was training like picking up cement blocks and like bags of cement and stuff like that. That was his training. Where, as someone like Floyd Mayweather, he's training with like the state of the art, most recent, most new equipment. Okay. But to be fair, let's swap them. So let's bring Ray Robinson up here to 2015 and let's let him train with the greatest equipment. And he only has to fight, you know, 40 times in his career against, let's be fair, below average competition. And let's see how he does. Because I have a feeling he's going to be pretty good. And on that same token, let's take someone like Floyd Mayweather and let's put him back in the 40s and 50s. And you're going to be the guy lifting up the cement bags. And you're going to be fighting 200 fights over 25 years. How's he going to do? Do you see when we swap them how it kind of changes your opinion on things? Because I have a feeling Ray Robinson would do pretty well today. He would be pretty good using that. We can't just sit there and say, well, back in his day, he didn't get to do all that. Okay, well, then let's let him do some of those things. Because he'd be pretty good. Ray Robinson fought 200 fights, had 175 wins, and 110 of them were by knockout. So when we switch these things, it kind of changes our perspective on who's the greatest. Because when I look at the weapons that Joe Montana had, he's pretty loaded. He's got it made. He's playing for one of the greatest coaches ever, bar none. One of the greatest offensive minds ever in the game. A guy that changed the game in Bill Walsh. Do you think other quarterbacks couldn't have gone in there and succeeded? I've got news for you. I look at Tom Brady playing for Bill Belichick, and you can say whatever you want about Belichick. He's a cheater, he's this, he's that, he's a jerk, whatever. He wins, and he's really, really good. He's changing the game in the NFL. But are you telling me some of these other guys couldn't have gone in and played for Bill Belichick and been pretty good? Matt Cassel played for a season under Bill Belichick and went like 11-5 and got him to the playoffs. You're telling me some of these other quarterbacks couldn't do the same thing? They just didn't have that much around them. They just didn't have as much talent offensively, defensively, coaching-wise around them. Because if they had, they'd be pretty good too. Let me give you my top five most underrated quarterbacks of all time. And when I say underrated, please understand this. Some of these guys are in the Hall of Fame. You're going to say they're not underrated. They're rated. They're in the Hall of Fame. How could they be underrated? But they will never, ever be in the conversation of greatest quarterbacks ever. They won't ever be in that conversation because they didn't win as much as we say, or we just forgot about him. Either way. Case in point. Number five. Here's a guy that faced some of the top defenses, maybe of all time, playing in the 70s and 80s. He played in an era when passing, you didn't pass like we do these days. Now everybody's throwing it all over. It wasn't a passing league at this time. But from 1978 to 1984, Dan Fouts was putting up about 300 yards a game. He had 254 touchdowns. And he takes a lot of heat because they say, well, you had that high-powered offense, and he did have some players on his offense. I mean, Dan Fouts was throwing to John Jefferson, Charlie Joyner, one of the greatest tight ends, maybe the greatest tight end ever, Kellen Winslow. He had Wes Chandler. He had Chuck Muncy when he wasn't, you know, getting arrested. But here's the thing for Dan Fouts. Name one player that was on Dan Fouts' defense. He didn't have any players on his defense. I don't have any. He had to go outscore anybody because he didn't have a... Who? Louis Kelcher? Who are you going to bring up? He didn't have a defense. He certainly didn't have the defenses that Belichick rolls out. He certainly didn't have the defenses that Montana had playing on the other side of him. And what I remember the most about Dan Fouts, dude was so tough. Would get hammered. And I mean, you know, you're playing against some of those Raider teams. You're playing against even some of those Orange Crush Bronco teams. Would get blasted. Would get knocked down. Wouldn't get up. Would stay down for a few minutes. Would stagger back into the huddle. Is he going to play? I think he's going to come out. I think he's coming out of the game. I think Dan Fouts is done. He'd get up and throw a touchdown. Went to the Pro Bowl six times. Was a two-time NFL MVP. Dan Fouts is underrated. He will never be put in the upper echelon because he didn't win the big game. But sometimes it's not just the quarterback. You got to have some help or you can't do it. Speaking of guys that did not ever get enough help, my number four entry on most underrated quarterbacks, he'll never get talked about in the big with the big dogs. But if you were to put this guy on those San Francisco teams, you're telling me Jim Kelly couldn't have won a few Super Bowls? He took Buffalo to four Super Bowls. And to even get a team, let alone Buffalo, to even get a team to four Super Bowls is honestly amazing. People forget that Jim Kelly played two really, really good years when he first came out of college from Miami in the USFL. And that USFL, a lot of kids hear that now, and they're like, the USFL, what was that, like an arena league? No, it was where some of the best players were going to play. The Herschel Walkers, the Reggie Whites, some of the greatest players, NFL Hall of Fame players, went to the USFL because they had a ton of money at the time. When you look around the league and you see some of these teams running the no huddle and they walk to the line and they read the defense and they see what the defense is in, they might even step under center and start to call signals, and then they'll step back and say, okay, what are they in? Okay, let's change the play. Let's audible to the correct play and let's run it. That started with Jim Kelly. It wasn't the Oregon thing where he walked to the line, started to call it, looked over to his coaches, and they showed him like a picture of Mickey Mouse. It wasn't that. Jim Kelly walked to the line, read it himself, got the team into the correct play, and went 101-59 as a starter. Had 237 touchdowns. Holds the record for most yards per completion in a single game. Do you realize that in 1995, Jim Kelly averaged 44 yards per pass in a single game against the Carolina Panthers? Went to five Pro Bowls and actually won in Buffalo. Nobody wins in Buffalo. Joe Ferguson couldn't win in Buffalo. Nobody wins in Buffalo. Jim Kelly won in Buffalo. He took Buffalo to four Super Bowls. Again, you're going to tell me if you plugged him in with Bill Belichick, Jim Kelly wouldn't be pretty good? I've got news for you. He'd be pretty good. Number three on my list. Speaking of winning with horrible franchises, here's a guy who won in St. Louis. Here's a guy who took Arizona to the Super Bowl. And he almost won the Super Bowl. Kurt Warner is number three with all-time passer rating at a 93.17 rating. You know who number two is? Kurt Warner's number three. Number two is Peyton Manning. Number four is Tom Brady. Kurt Warner was so deadly accurate. And I realized we kind of have the mentality of, well, yeah, but he had the right system and he had the, he completed 65% of his passes in his career. Not one season, in his career, 65%. He averaged 8.11 yards per pass. That is fifth best in history. And his legacy took kind of a hit. Remember in like, what was that, 2001? The Rams go to the Super Bowl against kind of this unknown Patriot team. And Kurt Warner, you know, he had some problems, didn't play that well, had a couple of turnovers, and they lose. And we all thought, oh, man, they lost to this upstart Patriot team that really isn't that good. Well, that loss doesn't look so bad now, does it? Especially when he turned around, went to the Giants, floated around a few years, went to Arizona and led Arizona to a Super Bowl. 208 touchdowns in his career. Kurt Warner is one of the most underrated quarterbacks ever. Number two on my list. Most underrated NFL quarterbacks ever. Let me tell you how underrated this guy is. He's not even in the NFL Hall of Fame. And he's forgotten because he played on such bad teams. He played on horrible teams. I will challenge you. Name a player he played with. Faced vicious, vicious defenses. My number two most underrated quarterback of all time played on those horrible Cincinnati Bengal teams. Kenny Anderson. And Ken Anderson had to face the steel curtain at least twice a year, every single year. And you know, in 1974, Ken Anderson faced the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the greatest defenses ever assembled. And he went 20 for 22 in a win over Pittsburgh. 90.9 completion percentage. Second highest completion percentage in a single game ever. Kenny Anderson led the league in passer rating four different times. In 1974, 75, 81, and 82. Only Sammy Baugh, Steve Young did it more. They did it six. Ken Anderson holds the single season record for completion percentage with 70.6. in 1982. And again, I challenge you, name one other player that Ken Anderson ever played with. Ken Riley? I don't know. I don't know. I can't name another player. I don't know any of those Cincinnati. Was Pete Johnson on those? I don't have any idea. I don't know who was on those teams, but I know Kenny Anderson is one of the most underrated players ever. He should be in the NFL Hall of Fame. My number one player, most underrated NFL quarterback, is a guy that when I say the name, like my underrated basketball player, you're going to say, well, I mean, we remember him, sort of, but he's kind of just forgotten. We kind of forget, and we don't really put together the full story of how good he is. Like I said before, I challenge you, name the greatest quarterback of all time. Joe Montana, Tom Brady. Maybe you say Peyton Manning. Maybe you're a little bit older and you say Johnny Unitas. Maybe you say someone like John Elway or someone like that. This guy never gets mentioned. But he has the best postseason passer rating in NFL history. His postseason passer rating, 104.8. He was 9-1 in the postseason. And people will say, well, yeah, but his teams only ran the ball. And they won because they had a great coach and they ran the ball constantly. But let me give you three championship seasons. First season, his team rushing the ball ran the ball for 3.4 yards per attempt. That was 11th in the league. They passed for 8.2 yards per pass attempt. That was second in the league. Second championship season, they ran for 3.5 yards, which was 14th in the league. They passed for 8.9 yards, which was first in the league. And his last championship season, they ran for 4 yards per carry. That was fourth in the league. And they passed for 8.3 yards per carry or per pass. That was first in the league. Do you see the disparity? We think of this team as just a running team. They're pretty good passing the ball. They didn't pass as often, but he was really, really good when he did. Averaged 7.85 yards per pass attempt for his career. Now, let me throw out some other numbers for you. 7.85 yards per pass. Dan Marino, 7.37. Joe Montana, 7.52. Roger Staubach, 7.67. Terry Bradshaw, 7.17. Tom Brady, 7.4. This player, 7.85. His overall record was 94-57. And he won 5 championships. Not 4. He won 5, including 3 championships in a row. My most underrated quarterback of all time. Doesn't get thrown in that conversation. Isn't talked about with the same deity that some of these other guys are thrown out there with. But Bart Starr was a really, really good quarterback and a really underrated quarterback. Bart Starr wins my most underrated quarterback of all time. Hey, little bit different of a show today. Throw out some top 5 lists. I hope that you enjoyed them. I hope that you got something out of it and can give you something a little bit different during this dry time of year. Next week on the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, we have our first annual Daily Dose Award Show. We are going to do the dosies. Trust me on this. You do not want to miss that. If you get a chance, go on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Just write a quick review. It doesn't have to be anything big. Just love the podcast, whatever it might be. Just throw that on there because it really, really does help us get some ratings and get some rankings among iTunes, get us some more listeners. Again, the bigger this gets, the better that it will get. As usual, I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have to thank you all for listening. I really, really do appreciate you listening every week. I hope you all have a great week. Don't forget, next week, first annual Daily Dose Awards, the Dosies. You don't want to miss that. I will see you all next week, everybody. Have a great week.